Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Back about a month ago, we began a series of messages related to diligence and resting at the same time. Diligence and resting at the same time. And the picture that I gave to you when we began this series was that of a shield. That whenever a soldier takes a shield, there are two sides to that shield. There is the front side, which deflects the arrows of the enemy. And then there is the back side, in which the soldier is trusting to keep him from being injured from those arrows. There is diligence, and there is resting at the same time. And I wanted to emphasize with you, taking the life of King Asa, beginning in chapter 14, we learned what a wonderful king that he was. He was a king in chapter 14, we are told, in verse 11, that Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And so they went out against the Ethiopians, and the Lord smote them before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now this was fairly early in the kingship of Asa, and what a testimony it was to the children of Israel to have a king that was resting in the Lord. And at this particular battle, he was overwhelmed with the fact that they were trusting God. They were not trusting in their armaments. They weren't trusting in their chariots. They were not trusting in their bows and arrows, but rather they were trusting in the Lord God Almighty to deliver them, and that He did. But that was not always the case with Asa. In chapter 16, we learn that Asa lifted himself up with pride. Verse 1 says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. We have a very similar situation, different king, different people, but basically the same situation in chapter 16. And he built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So this king has come against Jerusalem. They built bulwarks and they built towers. And they're trying to prevent people from leaving and coming into Jerusalem. They're going to use a pincer move to try to squeeze and put the pressure on Asa to give up and to turn himself over to this king. So what does Asa do? Asa, we learn, brings out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house and sends them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. He took God's treasures and sent them to an ungodly king. Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't if you're resting in God. It doesn't make any sense. But if you're not resting in God, it's normal operational moves. If you're resting in yourself, if you're relying upon your savvy and your ability to operate and to do business, this is what you would do. You would call in a hedged bet. All right? He had already made contacts with Ben-Hadad, and they had kind of put together a little confederacy, that if something were to happen to one or the other, they would help each other. So what does he do? He takes God's silver and God's gold, and he sends it up there to Ben-Hadad and said, listen, I need a favor from you. I need you to come up against the backside of this king. I need you to attack him and draw him off and send him back home. Will you do this for me? And Ben-Hadad said, yes. I'll be glad to do that for you. Thank you for the gold and the silver. Isn't that nice? We sent, speaking we as Israel, we've sent our gold and our silver to you because we need your help. Who is left out? God. Completely. Completely left out. No consultation with God. No crying out as he had done in chapter 14. Oh God, we're looking to you. We're looking to you for help and for strength and for protection. It's a small thing with thee to help. Whether we have a small army or a big army, it's a small thing for you to give us deliverance, and God did. But now, Asa's not resting. He's relying upon his own political savvy to make points with Ben-Hadad to get deliverance against the enemy. Now, folks, it's easy to take pot shots at Asa right now and say, you know what? You know, he shouldn't have done that. That's exactly right. Our problem is that we do it every day. We do it every day. We get a phone call. We've got to make a decision. We make a snap decision, give them an answer, move on to the next one. Who gets left out? God does. Well, you say, well, I don't need to bother God. I don't need to bother God with this particular situation. I can handle it. I've had this phone call before. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, you cannot afford to rely upon your savvy and your mental abilities and your business acumen. You cannot do that with God's work. That's what Asa did, and he lost big time. We have to show our dependence upon God in the little things, amen? It's the little things that matter. It's the little things in our household that show our children that we're depending upon God. If a child looks up and sees Daddy and Mama always making decisions, always doing things without ever checking with God, without ever praying, who do those children come to trust in? They come to trust, you know what? I can do that too. I can make decisions without checking with God. I can do this and that or the other. Let me tell you something. That's where the secret of the Lord is. It's with those daily, everyday, ordinary decisions that need to be brought to the throne of grace first. Now, this is where we live now. We can say, oh, Asa, you shouldn't have done that. But we do the same thing on a smaller scale every day with decision-making, family decisions. We start relying upon our abilities, our savvy. I've done this before. I'll do it again. Let me tell you something. God may have you do something totally different. You ever thought about that? Well, that never crossed my mind. Well, when you're not resting in Him, it won't. You'll just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Let me tell you something. There is no book of decisions that you write down the decision you made, and you go to do this, and you say, well, I don't have to ask God anymore. I'll just do that I did back in the past. That's what Asa came to believe. He said, you know what? I don't need God for this one. I've got a confederation put together. Because of my political savvy as king, I went out and I got all these nations to come on board with me. So I'm just going to call in one of my political cronies and I'm going to have him attack in the back there. That'll draw them off and I will have all that is what's left. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. It worked. Everything worked according to Asa's plan. There was just one little, actually it's not little. It's one very big thing that he forgot about. And that was his God. Because God had something else in mind. And yet Asa went with his plans. Notice what happens here. God sends one of his prophets by. Mean old God. Oh, this works so well. Why would God be upset? Listen, when you leave God out and you do your own decision making and you make your own your own choices and you just go through and you do your thing every day just like you've always done, let me tell you something. God will have something to say if you're His child. He will have something to say. If He doesn't say anything, you better start examining your heart. You may not be His child. Notice what happens here. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Oh, we get a little glimpse here. What was God's plan? His plan was for Syria to go down. But instead, Asa had made a peace pact with the group that God was going to have go down, and God's glory did not come to his name. Because of Asa's decision, which in the world's eyes would be wise, because that's what the world does. That's what our U.S. government does all the time. We send emissaries, and we're trying to get Iran to stop producing nuclear weapons. So we're paying all these other countries to try to see if they will help make Iran do something different. I want to tell you something, it won't work. It won't work because God's left out of it. God's left out of it. You said it in American foreign policy. We've seen a lot of things work, yeah, but we've seen a lot of things not work. You remember Neville Chamberlain in England, right before World War II broke out? What was his suggestion on how to deal with Adolf Hitler? Yeah, peace in our time. Give Hitler what he wants. All he wants is Poland. All he wants is Austria. Let him have it. Nobody likes Poland anyway. And so what did they do? They stood on the sidelines and they let Hitler have Poland and they had let Hitler have Austria. And then he moved into France. And then all of a sudden, England got worried. Where was Neville Chamberlain? Where was his plan, peace in our time? Give the man what he wants and he'll go away. It didn't work, did it? And how many millions of lives were lost? 6 million Jews and over 2 million English, French, Polish, Austrian, North African in Libya, Egypt. We could go down the list of the millions of people that lost their life when someone said, peace in our time, give him what he wants. Asa's plan. Hey, I got a big bully up there in Syria. I'll just call in him to take care of this problem. God had a big problem with that. He was left out. Now, this is important now. Very important to what we've been talking about in resting in the Lord. Not resting in the Lord is sticking your finger in God's eye and say, I'll handle it from here, thank you. Resting is one of the most important facets of Christian living. Now, we've been sold a bill of goods, I'm afraid, in our churchianity and our religion. We've been sold a bill of goods that we got to be busy, 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 busy all the time. But we have not taught the church, we have not taught our people how to rest in the Lord, how to depend upon Him. We have brought in psychology into the church to deal with all of our problems. That's not relying upon the Lord, is it? We brought economic gurus into the church with all these Financial Peace University and all this kind of stuff. We brought them into church to teach people how to use their money. Who's been left out? Oh, we're careful. We make sure we mention God often. And there may be principles that they bring out that are good. But what it is, it's relying upon an economic program, not the chief economist. You see the difference? If you do all these things, you'll have money in the bank. I don't have to trust the Lord for that, do I? All I have to do is trust the plan that I paid for. All I've got to do is go to the program in psychology and they'll help me with all my problems. I don't have to rely upon God. Folks, this is the seriousness of this problem. It has crept into the church today and we don't even know it. Our money is supporting things that are pulling people away from relying totally upon God and relying upon programs instead of on the one who should be the one we're dealing with. This is very, very important. You and I must rest in the Lord. Well, you just don't understand. Sometimes resting in the Lord means I have to wait and I can't afford to wait. Yes, you can. You cannot afford not to wait. You must wait upon the Lord. Asa saw this impending disaster. These people have come against him. I've got to act quick. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. Well, I've got to act quick. I've got to do something quick here, or we're going to die. These people are going to look at me and say, King, look at these evil people that have come against us. You've not been leading like you should. And by the way, may I say this? Because Christians have all got wrapped up into this political year now. The economy is not the most important thing. You know what we've done? America has stuck her finger in God's eye with all these different things. Even the news media is picking up on it. ABC is carrying a special, I think, tomorrow morning, and they've talked about how America's morals have declined. Why? Because we've told God we don't need Him. We've told God we don't need Him. We don't need to rest in You. Let me tell you something. We've got it all backwards now. It really doesn't matter. Now you say, well, we've got to vote for Mitt Romney. If we could just get Mitt Romney in there, we could turn this thing around. Listen, until the hearts of Americans get turned back toward God, it doesn't matter how good our economy is. We're all messed up in our thinking. Oh, if we can just get the banking situation, we can just get the housing market taken care of, if we can just get Republicans back in the government, everything will be all right. No, it won't. You know why it won't be all right? Because we're not relying on God. We're relying on the Republicans. We want to ride the conservative wave into Washington and all of our problems will go away, right? Absolutely not. Asa was a conservative. Put it this way, he was a Republican king. Everything was good. He had thrown out all the altars and the high places. He had brought a conservative wave into Judah. And everybody said, "Woo! This is great. We're going to get back on track in Israel." And what does he do? He starts making political connections with God's enemies. God said, I was going to destroy Syria, but because of your actions not relying upon me, he's escaped out of your hands. Now, would you call that a serious political blunder? I would call it a serious spiritual blunder. Because for the Christian and for the child of God, there is no difference. It's all sacred, as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say. Everything's sacred. His political savvy got him into deep trouble because he stopped relying upon God. Now, we spent a lot of time over the past few weeks talking about the failure to rest over the long term. Asa started out right, but he didn't continue on right. Number one, we looked at a good record does not mean insulation from wrongdoing. Doesn't mean that. What it means is you must keep on resting. Keep on resting. Just because Asa was a good king and he had ruled for so many years as a good king did not mean that he was insulated somehow from wrongdoing. Second thing that we looked at is a good record does not mean we will rest daily in the Lord till the end. Just because we have a record up to a certain point does not mean that we're going to keep on doing that. Because when you stop trusting in Him and you start relying upon your savvy, that's when your downfall will take place. You see, Asa is the story of a good man that went bad. And we could look at several other kings. He was a good king, no question about it. But he stopped resting in the Lord and started trusting in his own abilities and his own political savvy and his ability to make associations with the other nations. And as a result, God said, Ben-Hadad has escaped out of your hands because you stopped relying upon me. Asa, who had rested early on, did not rest continually. We looked at the two words that are used here in this text. First of all, because thou hast not relied on the Lord. That word rely, there's an interesting Hebrew word. It means to rest upon, to lean upon, to trust in. Very important word. So what he was saying was, you stopped trusting God somewhere along the line, Asa. And you started trusting in something else. And it really doesn't matter, fill in the blank, what he was trusting in, because he had stopped trusting in the most important thing, and that was God. The word seek in our passage here has to do with the same basic idea. It means to draw near to properly turn to in order to find an answer. We get our word oracle from this word. Oracle simply means the place where answers are found. The place where answers are found. And he had turned to someone else to be his oracle rather than God. It is used in the Old Testament to speak of a person who goes before a king to find a remedy for a problem. And Asa, instead of going to his king, he started trusting in his own kingship. Brought great shame upon the children of Israel. Thirdly, a good record does not mean we can start trusting in our own power and ability. Can I launch you into the future for just a few moments? Let's go to chapter 26. I want to bring up another king, the 10th king of Judah. Asa was the 3rd king of Judah. The 10th king of Judah was a man by the name of Uzziah. Uzziah was another good king, a king who had masterminded one of the greatest construction projects of his time. He was an engineer, a man who rested in the Lord in verse 5 of chapter 26. For it says in verse 5, and he sought God, same word for rely that we had. He relied upon God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, as long as he rested in the Lord, God made him to prosper. Good king, good man. Let me just give you some of the feats that he accomplished. He built fortress towers in Jerusalem at various points on the walls, perhaps including the portion of the wall that Joash had destroyed from the northern part of the kingdom. We know that he had come down and he had destroyed a section of that. He rebuilds the towers and makes lookouts there over the city of Jerusalem. Not only that, he also undertook massive agricultural projects in the desert, as well as in the foothills and the plains. He put aqueducts that brought water out into the desert so they could grow food where food could not have been grown before. Not only that, he reorganized the army. He took 307,000 men and he put them in well-trained and well-equipped divisions under 2,600 leaders, we're told. He pioneered the use of certain advanced weaponry, such as catapults, to hurl arrows and large stones at a great distance. The trebuchet. All right, that's the French word for the same thing, a catapult. He designed and built these so that Israel would have highly, highly advanced weaponry. Does that sound familiar? Now, we've got something a little bit better than rock throwers. We've got rocket launchers. But it's the same principle. Follow along with me. All this enhanced his reputation as king of Israel, as Judah, and increased his strength. Uzziah's great power, though, led to pride. Notice this, please, verse 16 of chapter 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. His pride got the best of him. Let me tell you something, folks. One of the greatest enemies that we face of resting in the Lord is pride. Intellectual pride. I'm smart. I have the ability to be able to do things that other people can't do. I have the ability to be able to work with numbers, or I have the ability to work with technology, or I have the ability to do this or that or the other. And so since I have that ability, I can rest in that. No, you can't. No, you can't. You must, as a Christian, continue to rest in the Lord. Uzziah ended up with leprosy. He walked into the holy place without permission, and he began to offer incense on the altar. The priest rushed in there and ordered him to leave. He became angry with them. He had the censer in his hand, you know, the one that the high priest would carry? And he used it as a bola. He began to swing it and he hurled it at the priests in his anger. How dare you tell the king to leave the holy place? And all of a sudden everybody began to step back as they watched leprosy come across his forehead and spread across his face. And they immediately grabbed him and threw him out of the holy place. His leprosy was so bad that he was banned to an isolated house outside the city, and his son Jotham was called to be the next king and serve as co-regent. A good king, a good man that had served God and had honored God, let pride keep him from resting. Let me say this, do you see how important resting is? Diligence is important, but you must rest in your Lord. Don't get too big for your britches. I used to hear that statement growing up as a child. Don't get too big for your britches. Well, I want to tell you something. When you get too big for your britches, you're not too big for God to take you down. Let's go back to Asa in chapter 16. A good record does not mean we are somehow exempt from God's principles of how He governs in the affairs of men. I want to say that again. I want you to meditate on it. Think with me. A good record in the past does not mean that we are somehow exempt from God's principles of how He governs in the affairs of men. Now, in chapter 16 and verse 9, I want you to notice this verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose what? Whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. In other words, your time of peace is over with. You're going to spend the rest of your days with trouble. We not only see that, but we find that he doesn't respond very well to that message, does he? He gets angry too, just like Uzziah in the future would. He gets angry with the prophet. If you don't like the message, what do? You go after the messenger. That's what they're doing in America today. They're going after the messengers. They don't like the message. They don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. So they go after the messengers, and that's exactly what he did with Hananiah. Threw him into prison. He went into a rage and he oppressed some of the people at the same time. By the way, some is not in the original text. That was supplied by the King James translators. And oppressed the people at the same time. He oppressed the people. Why? Because he had been caught. And nobody likes to be caught. We want to make excuses. We want to have some reason why we did what we did. So he goes after Hananiah, throws him in prison. I don't want to hear him. And what does God do? You can throw God's prophets in prison, but you can't throw God in prison. Notice what he did. And in Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to whom? The physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchers, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. In other words, they burned incense unto him. But he went to his grave, not relying and resting in God. A good king. A good king. Started out resting, but didn't continue resting. How about us this morning? Maybe we had a good start. Maybe we started out really good. But that brings us to the last thing. A good record only counts at the end. A good record only counts at the end. I can be in a race, and I can start out really good, and I can lead the pack. But they're not going to give me an award at the end because I led the pack on the first lap. Now, I'm waiting for the day to come in America when we start giving out awards for individual ability, capability at the beginning of a race. Because somehow it's going to be unfair for only one person to get the gold. Right? I mean, after all, look at this poor guy back here that came in last. He started out in first. And all these other faster people ran, but he started out in first. Listen, God doesn't give prizes for last place. He wants you to finish the what? The race that's set before you. He wants you to finish the race. We don't run We don't run for the gold because nobody keeps their crowns in heaven. Do you understand that? Sometimes I hear that, yeah, we got to run for the gold. Listen, that's not biblical. The crowns are going to be cast where? Before the Lord. Nobody's going to walk around heaven with their gold medal. Or I can walk up to Mr. O'Pager in heaven and say, do you see this? I earned that whenever I was pastor of Grace Bible Church. Okay? I won't be able to do that. Nor will I want to do that. Because all of the crowns and all the awards are going to be cast at Jesus' feet. You see, a good record only counts at the end. Asa started out good. He was winning the race. He was relying upon the Lord. But somewhere along the line, he got out of the running. And he started relying upon his own abilities. And so, those running feet that went to Ben-Hadad, those running feet that produced a confederacy that would help him, were laid up. I can't think of anything more awful than to have a foot disease where I couldn't walk. And that foot disease, to know that it came because of my not resting in the Lord, not trusting in the Lord. That's what happened to Asa. Let me say this as in conclusion this morning. You can rest. You can rest. As a child of God, you have the great King in whom we can rest in. The problem is you've got to fight the culture. You've got to fight the world. You've got to fight the business models of the world. You've got to go against it, and you've got to crawl on your knees before God in prayer and rest in Him. And the modern church today is not interested in that. The modern church today wants everything to be instant and easy. And if it doesn't come fast enough from God, I'll get it some other way. I'll get it some other way. And what you'll get is what Asa got. Oh, they've had a great funeral for him. Oh, they sent up a burning and an incense that went up to heaven. But they could not say he was resting in God, because remember what happened when he got the disease? Did he turn to God and cry out to Him? No. He turned to the physicians and said, what can you do for me? And never rested in the Lord. What a sad commentary on a good king. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to cry out to God with me, that we will rest in our Lord, that we'll trust Him no matter what comes, no matter what enemy gathers around us to destroy us, we are not going to run to the world for help. We're going to rely upon our Lord. You see, God had something more wonderful. Not only was God going to take out this king, but He was going to take out Ben-Hadad in Syria too. All he had to do was call upon God, and God would have delivered him just like He had done against the Ethiopians. And then there would not have been a Ben-Hadad to come against the northern kingdom and to haul him off into captivity. God has His perfect will, folks, and He only shares it with those who are resting in Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You're a mighty God. You're a powerful God. You're a God that sees all the issues of life, because You see them from heaven's perspective. All we can see is from an earthly perspective, and that's very, very limited. When we see bad things that are happening to us, our first thing is to find out how we can solve the problem apart from these so many times. Lord, we need to be resting. We need to be relying upon Thee. Lord, You've given us the testimony of Asa as a reminder that it's not how we start, but how we finish that matters. Asa started out with a good record, good king, did that which was right, but he started trusting in his own ability. He started looking back and said, I've made this decision before. I know what I can do here and now. And Lord, it cost him his life, it cost him his kingship, it cost him in so many different ways because he refused to rest. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our people. Lord, we need to be resters in thee. We need to stop with all the frivolous activity, all the frivolous decision making that has nothing to do with thee, just trusting our own ability to make decisions. How foolish when we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to trust in. Father, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning. Convict us of the sin of resting in our abilities and in our savvy. And Lord, may we cease to trust in that. And may we put all of our trust in thee and watch you work in a mighty way. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.